All right, let's go ahead and kind of get started. We're going to wrap up this series. We've been kind of unpacking and adding to what we're doing on Sunday morning with the 2020 vision. Now, this coming Sunday morning, we will wrap up this 2020 vision series, and we're going to talk about it's called My Favorite Things. We're going to talk about again what it means to
give gifts to everyone, like Oprah.
We're going to take one more look at what it means to really see your life as being blessed. And we've been doing that a lot. I mean, but again, it is amazing, though. And again, even as you guys are sharing, the emphasis when you really start taking the time to look at your life that way and see your life that way. And I believe with all my heart that is foundational for you and I as followers, to because half of the battle, and it's not positive thinking, half the battle of what's going to happen in your life really does depend on how you see yourself as you move through life each day. When you get up in the morning, do you see yourself as someone who is a called follower of Christ who's been blessed by God to make a difference in the world? Or you wake up as some schlub that's just going to make it through another day? I guarantee you that changes the way you face the day. And it's not as much about thinking in a positive way, but allowing your heart and your mind to be renewed by Christ. And that's what the Bible says we ought to do. So, I mean, it's a biblical way of living, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's not everyone's default. And yet the more we do it, the more we discover that we are able to flesh out and be who Christ has called us to be. We're going to talk about these in just a minute. That's where we've been the first 2 weeks and kind of the big summary statements. But we're going to start, and I want to talk about, imagine that you're in a high-quality art gallery, and you have been you've been hired to design a sculpture. So here's a quick lesson in how to create it. This is not a new idea. You know exactly what I'm getting ready to say. Let's say that they want you to sculpt a horse. So let me tell you how to do it. Okay? Get a big block of marble. Get a hammer. Get a chisel. Everybody with me so far? Okay. Place the end of that chisel gently on the surface. Tap it with the hammer and chip away everything that doesn't look like a horse. Horse is in there somewhere. You just keep chiseling until you find it. And anything that doesn't look like a horse, get rid of it. That's all there is to it. It is that simple. And after you're done chipping away everything that doesn't look like a horse, what's left is a beautiful sculpture of a horse, and you're a great artist. Now, professionals will tell you it's more complicated than that, but it isn't really. However, the trick is you have to be able to distinguish which parts of the marble look like a horse and which parts don't. See, the only reason that you're not a great artist and can't do it is a vision problem.
That's true.
You can't see it. You can't see it. It is true. Of course it's true. I'm not kidding you. Of course, you act like this is a surprise. Of course it's true. It's true. The problem is a vision problem. Being able to see the horse or the statue or the dog or the cat or the bird that's hidden in the marble, I mean, that it takes vision to be able to see that. But if you can see it, you chip away everything that doesn't look like that, and the end result is what you set out to create. Now, again, we all know there is a skill set involved in that. But in week one, we talked about, or the summary in the first part of our study here on midweek was that to have 2020 vision, seeing your life as blessed, you have to begin to see with accuracy what's going on in your life today. I summarize that by saying to you that you have to get a clear understanding of who you are and where you are at any given moment. You take an inventory of strengths and weaknesses. You're honest about who you are and what's going on. And you're able to see what's happening. But again, remember, we're talking about putting on the glasses, the lens, where we're looking at our life blessed. Now, again, it's real easy to look at an event X, and just go, oh, that's horrible. Or you can look at that same event with that lens that says, okay, I know, God, you're doing something here. What is it? And you're able to see a little bit better and more accurately what's going on. Now, again, it is the choice that you make of how you're going to view your world, but if you're going to see with accuracy what's going on in your life today, here's what I know. Each day that you get is a gift from God. Everybody agree with that?
Yep.
Okay. God knows everything that's going on in your world and what's going to happen to you. Everybody agree with that? Okay. So as a result, when you face it, you're never alone. He's there with you in the midst of it. And the Bible says he has every day scripted out for you, and it was scripted before you were born. So nothing that you're going to face today or tomorrow is going to be a surprise to God. That means, whatever it is, he is there with you in the midst of it, and it's a part of the plan. I know that you guys have caught this on the news, and if you have not, then you have missed, I don't know where you've been, but Kobe Bryant passed away unexpectedly in a helicopter crash in California. Tragic event, 41, 42 years old, wherever he was, and he will go down, he'll be an NBA Hall of Famer this year. A great basketball career. Certainly some troubles in his life along the way. You know, he made headlines for a lot of things, and some of them weren't always real good, but, you know, he managed to keep his family together, raising that family, mentor to other ball players, very well respected, and you've been hearing the outcry. It's really been interesting. I mean, Matt and I were talking about this last night at the halftime of a ball game. You know, you can't turn on sports radio, or you can't turn on any of the ESPN. There's like 18,000 ESPN channels where they're not talking about the impact and the life of Kobe Bryant. They're all trying to get their minds and hearts around the loss, trying to come up with a reason why. And they're asking that question, why, and what do they need to learn from it, and what do they need to take away from it. And they're coming up with some stuff like, we'll value each day, and, don't wait to, tell people that you love them. I mean, all those things are really good. I mean, and it's incredibly moving stuff. I was moved listening to Shaq talk about Kobe the other night, because they didn't always get along when they were together, by the way. But time is a great healer of all things. And so listening to that, and I don't know if you caught this or not, because our comment last night as we were talking that, they are so close to the answer that they need to be getting to, except nobody on ESPN saying it. But I want you to know something. You may have missed it, but somebody said it. Because this week on national television, on the top-ranked cable show in America, they flew to New York, one man, to talk about this. And you guys know who he is, I think. Pat Williams. Yeah. Orlando Magic. Author of about 3,000 books. Guy who has a strong Christian testimony. Obviously, one of the founders of the Orlando Magic, general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, knew Kobe, well, really from the time he was born, actually. And I was able to tell stories about him actually being brought to the basketball arena as a little baby. So he knew him his entire life. On national television, it was kind of one of those things where I was trying to get ready to get out the door, and I'm watching and listening to Pat talk, because Pat's had a rough time, too. I mean, he is... man's got heart issues. I don't know if you know that, but I know that because I've sat in a cardiologist's office next to him. He and my dad had the same cardiologist. So on two different occasions, he and I sat together for like 35 minutes just talking about stuff, because he's waiting to see the doctor because, even if you're Pat Williams, you don't get in quicker. And but then he's now a cancer survivor, and he's retired now officially. But he gets to the point on this interview with television. And it stopped me in my tracks. He goes, because he said that, this is how he kind of said it, and this is obviously a paraphrase, but he says, there's something I want to say to America. So at that point, I'm now slowing down just a little bit. Okay, we're going to say this to America now. This is we're going off script in the interview. And he says, everybody's trying to understand why. He says, I want people to understand that there is a time when each one of us is born, and there's a time when we're all going to die, and God knows that time. And it doesn't surprise him. And I'm like, I'm all in now. And then he asked me, I'm like, throw it. Throw it. And he says, and the only thing that we have to accomplish in that short period of time, in that space of time, is making a decision of what we're going to do with Jesus Christ. And he came, and he lived, and he died for your sins, And you get the opportunity to accept him as your personal Savior. And you have to do that before you die.
He said all that.
He said all that on national television. I'm like, wow! Like, wow! Because that's the answer that they're still looking for tonight on ESPN. And so he took advantage, flew to New York from Orlando to sit on national TV to say that. Got news for you. Man's got style. And it's what needs to be said. And it's an accurate summary of what life is really all about. See, when you take inventory of life, tomorrow, I mean, I'm not a fatalist here, but tomorrow could be your last day. So don't squander it by wasting it or piddling it away. Embrace it and take an honest look at what's going on in your life today, because it really is a gift from God and you're not guaranteed of another one. How do you see your life? Do you see it as a blessed gift from God, or are you just wasting time? We added to that and we said also, then see today in terms of where it can take you. Mm-hmm. Having 20/20 vision helps you develop that ability. And this is what we talked about, and then we talked about this last week and then the week before that too. But this is about defining the why. What is it you really want for life? What is it you want out of life? What is it you think God wants to give you out of life? What is it that you really are trying to accomplish and be? Are you trying to be the best version of you, as we often say around here? Or you got another agenda? Huh? Are you got a different agenda? And so the question is, if you're not trying to be the best version of you that God created and you have a different agenda, my B question behind that then would be, is your agenda better than God's? And can you defend that? That would be the next question.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, at the end of the day, again, it's simplistic. I know it's more complicated than that, but that's what we're talking about when we talk about starting to cut through the junk and the muck in your life to get down to the vision of who it is you're supposed to be and what it is you're supposed to be doing. Because if you're called of God, and if you are a follower of Christ, and you are called, and you are blessed, and you're called to bless others, so how do you see your life each day when you get up and start moving through it? And then do you see today now in terms of what's going to happen next? What is it that you're doing today that, again, is going to propel you to the next thing that God has for you? How are you moving forward in your life? Are you just killing a day and wasting a day and taking your time? See, the culture that we live in, the epitome of our culture is, I still got to have my me time. Hell is loaded with people who have me time. I promise you that. Every minute I get is a gift from God. It's not mine. I can't make it. I can't manufacture it. But it's been given to me by a creator who has decided that he is going to trust me enough and love me enough to let me do with it what I want. And if I want to take it for myself, that's fine. But it's far less than what I was created to do. Jesus got down and dirty with it when he said in Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. If you don't do what he says, guess what you're building your house on? Sand. Huh? Even more important to have a good roof then. All right, now, but at the end of the day, we are making a choice. And so our God-given vision for our life is big. It's like a dream. There's something out there that God we're chasing. I mean, every day you get up and you get chased on the couch, God has called you something that's bigger than you are. And I talk about dreams a lot. I mean, I talk about, you know, having those visions that God wants for you. What is it chasing? What are we going after? What are we trying to do? And sometimes people get tired about that. And then they get really ticked off because, you know, I talk about, you know, direction, not intention, gets you to your destination. And that hacks people off too, you know, because, you know, then I come back around and, well, simple, what direction are you going? What direction have you set for your life? What direction are you doing to get where you want to go? Besides saying, oh, I want to do this. Okay, what are you doing to get there? Because you have to make some decisions that go beyond just good intentions to get there. Monday, I had the opportunity to do a couple things that I had not done for a while. One, I got to spend part of the day with the Florida Baptist Convention, which is interesting. I did that, and then I doubled the time up because I was on my way back to St. Cloud. But on the way back, the bookstore of the year, Christian bookstore of the year, and there's not a lot of Christian bookstores left in the country, but the best one in the country is actually in Melbourne, Florida. Rachel Savage is the owner of the store, and she's done a great job with it. And I especially like the store because there's a whole section that features me.
Do they have a cutout?
Do they really?
Yeah, a picture. Yeah. Anyway, as I was down there, I walked in and dropped by because again we're doing an event with her later in the year. But I dropped by because in the year, always good to drop by. And again, you network as you're supposed to, right? And I walked in, and I actually walked into their lunchtime book club. And so we did an impromptu 15-minute question-answer. And someone asked the question, how did you write a book? And my answer was real spiritual. I said, I just sat down and wrote it. They said, no, why? I made the decision. I said, I this is really going to be very non-spiritual, but it is very spiritual. I said, this sounds non-spiritual. I said, I made a decision that this year I was going to write a book. It was 2010. And I said, so I wrote a novel. And I sat down every day and I wrote the novel. I said, not necessarily divinely inspired, it's just a novel. And I wrote at it every day because I decided I would have written a novel by the end of the year. I just set my direction, that's where I went. And I said, and that's spiritual, by the way. I said, direction, not intention, gets you to destination. If you want to write a book, set your direction, make yourself time, get it done. I said, now, whether the book is good or not has nothing to do with it. Because that's all in the eye of the reader. I read a lot of books, and I like some of them I don't. You know, and reviews are squirrely anyway. So you can't live and die on those. But you have to set your direction. What are you going to set your direction on? Thomas Edison said it this way: vision without execution is hallucination. How about that? Pretty smart guy. No one wants to argue with Edison. He'll shock you. Anyway, vision without execution is hallucination. In other words, it's a dream that will never be realized. I mean, think about how many times you're going to hear a coach say, well, we lost the game because we failed to execute. Mm-hmm. Thought we had a good game plan, we just didn't execute. I saw one of those last night. and you can break it down, So-and-so didn't do this, so-and-so didn't do this, we threw the ball to the wrong player, I didn't sub at the right time, and so on and so on and so on. And you hear that virtually at every press conference of every coach who's ever lost anything. Very rarely does a coach get up and go, my team stinks. He ought to sometimes. Because they don't usually fire the players, they usually fire the coach. So he never says that. There's going to be some rationale behind it. But if he's right, vision without execution is hallucination, then how do you get past that hallucination part? What do you need to do to put steps in place to make this vision for your life happen in a real practical way? And so let me give them to you real quick. There's just three of them. The first one is simply this. You start by reducing your inventory. Start by reducing your inventory. What I mean by that? Well, take a personal inventory, a gut level look at where you are. What's going on in your life? And then do something about it. It's like looking at your behavior as a chunk of marble and starting to chip away some things that aren't there. Does this make me who I need to be? Am I being a devoted follower of Christ? Am I spending time with God? Am I reading in His Word? Am I using my gifts? Am I engaged and involved? Am I blessing others? All those kinds of things are all part of this, what is in your inventory list? And then what are you doing that you don't need to be doing? And for all of us, you know, it doesn't have to be bad things. It's just things that may not be beneficial. You know, maybe a little less TV. You know, right now we got a lot of people that are doing it. And I'm not minimizing it. It's a big deal. We've done it before here around here. But, you know, there's a certain pastor in America that's done a thing right now where he's talking about fasting. And so one of the things that he suggested people fast is social media. And so I can name 10 people right now that I know that are fasting for 40 days and not using social media for 40 days. Now, they make a big deal of it when they check out because they're coming back. So they don't want you to think that you forgot about them. They forgot about you, but they announce it to the world, and then they just fast for 40 days. Now they're coming back. Hopefully at the end of 40 days, they'll figure out whether it worked, whether they got closer to God, what God taught them in the middle of it, you know, what they were supposed to learn, but that's what they chose to give up. But so is there something you need to give up? Maybe you ought to give up social media. You know, there's a certain people that you hang around with that drag you down spiritually. You call them old boat anchors, I know. Have you got some folks in your life that are just like dragging dead weight? Well, then, you know, figure out another way to deal with them. Don't let them drag you down. You know, you need to change your diet. You need to exercise. You know, what are you doing that you can chip away at that will make you a better you? But you got to take an inventory and then reduce it. I mean, in my life, and I don't know if you do this, but I'm guilty of this. Boy, anybody knows me to tell you. I add stuff on all the time. I'm always adding, you know. I'm always putting more stuff on the plate. But here's what happens. When I put more stuff on the plate on one side, something falls off the other side. You know, because when people say, your plate is full, yeah, it is. I mean, I'm losing stuff on one side, putting more stuff on this side sometimes. And I really have to work at that. You know, sometimes you just got to kind of fine-tune that and figure out what's most important, what do you need to do, and what's going on, you know. Around here, it's really funny because today I've been running behind all day because I was out of pocket for the last 2 days. I mean, it really was. I was down at a media convention. And I did the book thing. I picked Caden up from school. And then yesterday I was with him. And I actually was someplace such I couldn't get his cell phone coverage. And I kept thinking, about halfway through the day, I thought, man, it is so odd. My phone is not going off all day. No service. No service. Who knew in Lake Wells, Florida, at Bach Tower, you didn't get phone service? I mean, there's a stinking tower there, for goodness sakes. You know, but I didn't. Now, as soon as I got back on the main drag in Lake Wells, poof, phone blew up. I guess people didn't forget about me. You know, I mean, there were things that had to be done. But again, just way out of pocket and nowhere to be found. But again, there's some times you just got to figure out, you know, how to prioritize and how to do what needs to be done and let the other stuff go. So reduce your inventory. The second thing is develop a daily routine. In one of the Psalms attributed to Moses, he wrote, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, you know, you plan out and you use your day in a very wise way. And with that comes wisdom. I mean, we've talked about this so many times. Making your days count. Make the most of each day. We've even said it tonight already. If you want to live the life that God wants you to live and be the person that God wants you to be, how do you do that on a daily basis? What is your routine? What are you doing to purpose yourself to do that? How are you directionally making that happen? We talk about taking depth tests. We talk about looking at your life, understanding where your life is. You know, a lot of people, this is their life. It's a bowl of spaghetti. They throw it against the wall. I'll pick the noodle that sticks. And if nothing sticks, I'll just throw it again. I mean, it's willy-nilly. Heck, you plan everything else? You plan a road trip? You plan a vacation? Right? You plan where you're going to eat? You plan your week? You plan your appointments? Why don't we plan for God? Now, if you're real spiritual, you're going to go, well, Jeff, he's in all of that. So all I say, is he first in all of that? Because if you're planning everywhere that you eat, after you talk to God about, should I eat here? Awesome. But most of us don't do that, you know. So again, where does God fit in that daily routine? Because those habits, when we begin doing them long enough, become a part of the routine, which is why the blessing thing is so important. Because now, after we finish this Sunday, then we're going to shift into a different series called Bless to Bless, where, you know, we're doing a little bit of that now, but we're going to go in overdrive. Really seeing how we can flip that blessing. We're going to get to the point where every time that you're blessed, I'm going to start challenging you. Every time you're blessed, you find somebody else to bless immediately. That's not always easy to do.
Yeah, Brittany knows.
It is, yeah. Not easy. It gets frustrating, right? But it's also a fun game, right? How can I bless somebody? I mean, because again, when you start looking for people to bless, I mean, it changes the way that you look at life. And so, let me give you one more big idea, and then I'll wrap this thing up. The key to having 20/20 vision is the ability to see today in terms of what needs to be done. So again, see today in terms of where it can take you, and then see it in terms of where what needs to be done next. In other words, your daily routine, if you don't connect with God on a daily basis, if you don't purge your life a bit and get your inventory where it needs to be, and you don't start figuring out what your daily routine is, you'll never be able to take this day that you've got in terms of where it can take you and figure out what do you have to do next. I mean, it's one thing to know, you know what I need to do this day? I need to make a difference in somebody's life today. I need to bless somebody today, okay? How are you going to do that? See, you've got to get to the point where you start developing that routine that allows you to start becoming that person and doing it. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, we don't have time to go there, but in 1 Chronicles 12, there's a list of various groups of men who are prepared to join David in a battle against King Saul. David wasn't king yet. And this is how one group was described. Men of Issachar. That's got to be the title of a movie somewhere. And this is how they were described, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. See, the people of God need to understand the times and know what they should do. Because we haven't checked lately, we live in a crazy world. And the followers of God need to understand the times and know what they should do. See, that's the kind of people we need to strive to be. Vision without execution is hallucination. And execution has to be done on a daily basis. In other words, you have to execute every day to become this person that you need to be. So the last step is simply this. Make those decisions and then settle in for the long haul. It doesn't happen quick. See, we want instant answers. We want instant solutions because that's how we live our life. But you know what? When you decide that you're going to make a difference for God and you're going to bless people and you're going to live that kind of life, it's not easy to do. I mean, I told you earlier. You know, I wrote a book. But I wrote a book because I decided I was going to sit down every day and just write. It had nothing to do with whether the book was going to be good. It had nothing to do with whether the book was going to be published. Although I had a contract before I had a book. But the decision had already been made. I was going to write a book. It was my big mouth that got me a contract before I had really a book. But that was a whole different story. But you've got to discipline yourself to do it. There's a verse in Proverbs that I'm going to end with. I like how it comes out in the New Living Translation. It's what I leave you with for this Wednesday evening series. Proverbs 21:5. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. In other words, ain't nothing wrong with plodding. And most of the things worth having and most of the things worth doing don't happen overnight. And it involves setting a direction and moving toward it and heading that way. If you see your life blessed, then you can start letting these other things fall into place and start moving in that direction. If you can, you'll discover a life that's different. So we'll wrap this up Sunday morning. Let's pray. We'll get out of here and get done. God, you are so good to us. And you bless us in spite of ourselves. We spend a lot of time distracted by other things. And sometimes we miss out on the most important thing. And so I pray that in our lives we would have a clarity, a vision, that we would see 2020. And we begin to see our lives as being blessed. And because of that, we begin to see our role, our job, our task, and our opportunity to bless others. That will look a variety of ways. That happens in a lot of different ways. But in the end result is we will touch and change the world with your love. And we will get people to get a glimpse of you that they couldn't find anywhere else. It's how you want to use this. And so God, I pray that you would just help us to not only understand it, remember it, but put it into practice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.